Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So I was watching my YouTube feed the other day, and out of the blue came one of the most interesting little videos that I've seen for a very long time. It was a woman in Israel being interviewed. She happened to be a black woman, talking about her experiences in Israel being a black woman. And given that we are a community which is so overwhelmingly heterogeneous, given that we are a community, and I talk for myself, my understanding of Israel and diversity goes as far as Sephardi and Ashkenazi and not much further, I thought how incredibly fascinating to discuss this issue of one's life experience as a black woman in Israel. To that end, Reza Gooding is on the line. She is co-founder and client services director of Cacao Media in Israel. Reza, thank you for joining us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Hi, thank you, Simon, for inviting me. Thanks so much for noticing this video. I didn't know that so many people read it.
No, it was absolutely incredible, and it just opened my eyes to a whole different experience to that which I'm sure most of us are aware. So you're particularly fascinating. You were born in Trinidad and Tobago. I read that you spent some time in Israel in 2007 for 2 weeks, and look at you now. How many years later? Maybe just give us very quickly the background story.
Oh, well, sure. So I did come to Israel in 2007. I came for a 2 week vacation because I was dating an Israeli at the time and he invited me to come. But then I fell in love with the country. So I just ended up staying. So my 2 week vacation turned into a 14 year hiatus.
And, oh my goodness me. I mean, it is I love the country, but let's make no mistake. It is a difficult country. It's a difficult country in every respect, from weather to people's attitudes to things to a forthrightness that is in your face. How did you cope with the cultural difference?
Ah, that's a good, good question, Simon. And it's still something that I am coping with today. Because yes, as you just described, Israelis are very, let's call it, in your face. You know, I think, you know, going through this period of COVID-19 and social distancing and having people not in your personal space is very hard for them. So it was a difficult period for me to adjust. But you know, I had this rule, you know, I began understanding that first of all, Israelis don't take things personally. They may shout at you right now, or they may say something awful to you, but in the next second, they invite you to go to lunch with them. So I learned that if I could actually, you know, adopt that same mentality, as well as, you know, they tend to be very inquisitive. So they would always ask you very personal questions, like how much money do you make? How much did you pay for your house? Where did you buy your car? You know, they get very personal. So I had a rule as well that said, for every personal question I got, I'm going to ask them in return 3 more. So it was a 1-3 rule. So if I got as pushy as them, then they would just probably not ask me anything else either.
Absolutely fantastic. My goodness me, you are so right. If I think back to my time in Israel, are you married? We've got a daughter for you. And so it goes on. No sense of what is private and what isn't.
Exactly.
I want to move to the racial aspect of it because I find that absolutely fascinating. Let's be honest. I mean, Israel is 50% Ashkenazi European Jewish, and the rest is pretty much Jews from North Africa or the Middle East, but very few black people in Israel.
Yes.
How have you dealt with that experience?
Yes. Ah, that's really interesting as well. You know, Israel has over 500,000 Ethiopians, actually, right? So you would think that they're accustomed to seeing black people. But actually, in my first couple of years, and even to this day, I mean, you just described me as owning my agency. Sometimes I go to offices, and people ask me if I'm here to clean the office, you know? I remembered when I first came, I would walk around my neighborhood because I was living in a suburban area. And, you know, people would stop and ask me, are you a Metapele? Could you come and clean my house? And I would be like, why do you think I am your house cleaner or a house cleaner? Because every black person is supposed to be doing this job. So at first I used to feel offended because, you know, when you work hard for what you have to achieve, you know, I had a degree, I'm intelligent, I had a good job. So why would you just look at me and assume that I'm going to be your house cleaner? But then I decided I would twist this around on them as well. So I said to them, sure, I could come and clean your house, but it will cost you 1,000 shekels an hour. And then they would look at me like, what? What nonsense is this? But the point is that I had to find a way again, just like the personal questions, not to take those things personally, because I, as you just said, Israel is like 50% Europeans, and they really don't have any kind of relationship with outside people. You know, my husband, he was Polish Ashkenazi, and his mother, when she saw me, she was shocked because she's never been this close to a black person. So she couldn't understand, like, why would he bring up me home for the first time? And then the first couple of years was very difficult. She did not know how to acclimatize herself to me. So it is something that is very, I realize, very inherent in them. Even though they travel a lot and they see the world a lot, they're still very much in their own clans. They don't necessarily mix outside of their Jewish world. So once I understood all of this as well, I just decided, don't take those things personally, Risa. You know, just use what you have and the opportunity you have to build a better bridge, or, you know, build a better bridge of understanding rather between these two cultures. So this is how my agency evolved, really.
Yeah. My first trip to Israel was a very long time ago. And I remember at the time speaking to an older Polish lady. She considered intermarriage being a marriage between an Ashkenazi and a Sephardi. I mean, that's how hectic she was then. Has Israel moved on a little bit in that regard?
Exactly.
No, that was a question.
Yeah,
I don't know.
In some ways it
has. Has it moved on?
Yes, it has in some ways, because, you know, there are very many mixed couples, especially because of the Ethiopians. As I said, there are 500,000 Ethiopians now, right? So this generation, especially the younger generation, are more intermingling and they're more mixing. There aren't very many black people in Israel because, you know, you've heard in the last couple of years when they had the issues with the Eritreans or, you know, anyone, the Sudanese who are actually trying to get, not really apartheid, but they're trying to get, what is this word? I forgot right now, but they were trying to stay in Israel and they walked from, you know, Sudan. Yeah, asylum, exactly. So they're trying to get asylum in Israel, and Israel didn't want to accept them. And this was a huge issue as well, you know, internationally. So these are the only black people really that exist in Israel outside of the Ethiopians. There aren't really many black people from African countries or outside living here. No.
Quite remarkable. So tell me, in your workplace, in South Africa, clearly our history is fraught from a racial perspective. So we're very high, we're very sensitized to it. We have mandated equity targets. So people have to employ X number of black people, etc., so that we can right wrongs of the past. But there are diversity committees within the workplace. Is there anything remotely similar to that in Israel, or is it just a non-issue?
it is a non-issue. I don't even think Israelis will even adopt these kinds of policies, because for them, they don't really consider it as an issue for the, within their companies, especially yet. And, you know, this is exactly why I started my agency, because I used to think, you know, going into startup companies, for instance, I never saw anyone like me. And I said, you know what? Sure. There's so many talented minorities out here, even the talented minorities in terms of Jewish minorities coming, as you said, from North Africa, or they're coming from Latin American countries like Venezuela and stuff. They also found it very difficult to find themselves in Israel. So, you know, my tagline in my agency is connecting talent to opportunity, because I realize these people will never, ever get their foot in the door of a startup, because startups just inherently don't really look at us as, you know, having anything to offer. You know, they still have a very closed way of looking at things. When I first started, like, interviewing for jobs in Israel, some bosses will tell me, I'm sorry, I can't hire you because I know you're talented, but you're black and you're non-Jewish. They will tell you this in an interview, which is like illegal in every other country.
To
you don't think about
face.
It, right?
Wow. So,
yeah.
One of our
to
listeners, her name is
Hershevitz,
has just sent us an SMS. Sorry, we're having technical issues right now, but somebody's just written in and they said, I'm loving her accent. So your Caribbean accent is going down very well here in South Africa. We're fast running out of time, but I've got to ask you this. So you said your husband's family had a bit of a freak out when he brought home a black girlfriend. How did your Caribbean family feel bringing a white European Jew?
Exactly. You know, for them, they won't expose to this either. But we do have, you know, some Syrians as well in Trinidad, actually, that live there. So they're accustomed to mixed people. They're not that, you know, freaked out by it. But I know when my mother actually came to visit, she was shocked by the culture because, you know, again, as we said, Israelis have no politeness about them, right? They tell you things to your face. So she did understand that because in the Caribbean, we are very much on the British system, like South Africa. Yes. So people are polite, you know, they know how to set boundaries. So she couldn't tolerate it in the first couple of months that she was here when she visited. She was like, no, these people are way too much for me.
You know, I wanted to concentrate on the racial issue today because I found it absolutely fascinating, and we're out of time, but I don't know, maybe we can chat again because you have created a business of note. You've created a business with branches in Africa, in the Caribbean, in all over the place.
Yes, I have an office in Kenya,
Maybe we can delve into that next time.
No problem. No problem, Simon. Thank you so much for having me, and have a great day.
Thank you so very much. That was Reza Gooding, a businesswoman, an Israeli businesswoman who has very interesting perspective on the Israeli society.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.